How to begin? And I'm not asking that question about how to begin this morning's sermon, but I am posing a question that I think is much more complicated. And you're thinking, oh no, it's not going to be complicated today. I was hoping for something that was a little easier to listen to. I hope he doesn't use any big words. And I hope I don't fall asleep today. Anybody think of that? Maybe complicated isn't the right word. I think the question, how to begin, has many layers to it as it relates to this morning's reading and this new season of Advent, getting ready to celebrate Jesus' birth. Layers. You know, like when Shrek was talking to Donkey about onions, and he's saying about how Donkey doesn't understand how he's got a personality that's got many layers to it. And then how there's many layers, and well, that makes me think of the layer cake that we had a couple weeks ago. Remember that? Was anyone? No, that was at someone's house. Who made pumpkin layer cake a few weeks ago? Your brother made it? Oh, your brother made it. So I did have it a few weeks ago. And wonder what we're having for dessert after church. There's a little stream of consciousness just for you there. See, thinking about layers and then layer cake. And what are we going to have for dessert? Anyone know what we're having for dessert after church? Cookies. There's more than one way to begin, and sometimes our problem is getting distracted by so many other things before we even think about getting ready. And this problem of getting distracted is, or simply ignoring the getting ready time, it isn't new to us. You know that? You know this, you're not really getting ready for Christmas, you're not doing the right things. It's not new to our generation. It's not new to our parents' generation. It's been going on for a long time. How many of you read this month's edition of The Messenger? And there was a pastoral article in there. You always pour right over that, right? See? Yeah. Look at the honest. Right. Thank you. I quoted Congregational Pastor Cotton Mather, who is more famous for burning witches. It's part of the history of the Congregational Church we don't talk about so much. But in 1712, this is what he said. The feast of Christ's nativity is spent in reveling, dicing, carding, masking, and in all licentious liberty, by mad mirth, by long eating, by hard drinking, by lewd gaming, by rude reveling. That's in 1712. For a long time, we've taken this time of preparation for the celebration of Jesus' birth and made it into something stressful, something that doesn't look at all like waiting and anticipation. It looks more like chaos before Christmas. And then this Bible reading from Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5 from today, this is kind of like this beacon of hope in the middle of chaos, because the chapter just before in Isaiah and the chapters, or the verses at least, just after are filled with warnings about the consequences for ignoring God's commands and a call to do good, to seek justice, to rescue the oppressed, to defend the orphan, and to plead for the widow. They describe the destruction of the enemy at the hands of God, the champion of the underdog. Matter of fact, this week's Bible reading, it's like this dream of peace and justice when everything around is anything but peaceful and just. It's this anticipation of something glorious when everything around seems just awful or shameful. It's an invitation to anticipate what could be when all we can see is the devastation of what is. It's like the I have a dream speech before the I have a dream speech existed in our culture. I have a dream of peace, but all we see around us is war. You know, a dream of something better to come. It might speak better to people who are enduring hardship or exploitation or violence or tragedy or devastation. But at the same time, maybe it doesn't speak so well to people who live in comfort, in peace, and prosperity. But the theme of waiting and anticipation for those who are in dire circumstances and for those who are feeling fine, status quo should stay, the theme of waiting and anticipation for what God is doing and will continue to do is something that we all can learn from. And we might just learn about it in different ways. For instance, what if our style of learning, how many of you teach in the schools and know about all that multidimensional learning stuff? Now, this is all verbal and everything, but what if we just switched around the style and instead of regular, we went with the television preacher style? You know that television preacher style, right? You got, so you go like, "My brothers and sisters, you better be in preparation for the coming of your salvation. Turn away from your warring and confrontation. Get ready for the Christmas celebration. Set your eyes on God's accommodations and walk the road of reconciliation." You might learn from that, right? But maybe you would learn from a more scholarly approach. After all, this morning's reading is about waiting. It's waiting patiently and anticipating. You know how, notice how whenever you want to talk scholarly, you have to go with a British accent, a little bit of one. It's like everyone in Great Britain is smarter than everyone in the United States, is kind of how it sounds. But I'm going to do it anyway. It's waiting patiently in anticipation of something wonderful on the horizon. It's a kind of waiting as opposed to the negatively associated sense of procrastination, indicating not laziness, but rather patience and anticipation for something that will happen. And some people might hear that and be moved by it, and others would just think, blah, 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 blah. Yes, blah, blah, blah. But maybe I could try the attempting to be way too hip way. Like, all right, check it out. Okay, this is off the hook. The deal is, here's the thing. What is happening in your life right now is getting you ready for what's coming. Check it out. God wants you to stay away from the bad stuff and pay attention to the good stuff while you're getting ready for what God is going to do. Check it out. What's it going to be? It's going to be a time where people work and play together without killing each other. And it's going to be a time where instead of making guns, we're going to make tools to grow food together. Can you imagine it? Check it out. It's coming. And we're just supposed to get ready for it. And some would laugh at that style, while others would sit in their seats and simply be scared. Maybe a children's sermon style. Since we don't have a children's sermon today, maybe we should do that. Well, what do you do to get ready for the day? Do you brush your teeth? Do you eat breakfast? How do you get ready for something that you're really excited about? How about getting ready for Christmas? Do you tell people you're excited about what's going to happen? Do you think about what's going to happen all the time? Well, I think that you can get excited about how much God loves you and how God helps you, and you can tell other people that too. And you can still be excited and get ready for what God's going to do next. And any one of those styles might get the message across. And today we're entering into this season of hope. And our call is to turn away from what is bad and to turn to what is good. And I think in the call there's this invitation not to get wrapped up in the business of getting ready. The business of getting ready. It's an invitation to wait and to anticipate what we're getting ready to celebrate. Turn on the back page of your bulletin there. There's a phrase in here that I just love. These are two words in there. It says, "And therefore, to call to prayer, to watchfulness," and then that, "and to vigilant expectation." Vigilant expectation. Waiting in anticipation, not sitting there and going, "Wonder what's going to happen," but vigilant expectation. Something is going to happen. God is doing something great. And it goes from it's going to come in the future to it's now. It's like it's happening in the present. As we get ready, God is doing instead of God is going to do. And as we're waiting and anticipating, vigilant expectation, I wonder what God is going to be doing with us. Will we do a better job of focusing our lives on God's direction instead of our own? Will we do a better job of reaching out with love to be reconciled to the people that we have been in conflict with? Will we be actively praying for and seeking ways for all to beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. Because while this passage has a definite peace theme in the midst of all this devastation and war, I don't know that a whole lot of us have, you know, weapons that we need to beat into plowshares, swords into plowshares. But maybe we have things that we use, things that are in our lives that come out as these negative weapons to cut someone down or to cut somebody off in traffic or to grab the last toy on the shelf. Will we be actively praying and seeking ways for all to beat, metaphorically speaking maybe, our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks? Over the next 4 weeks, and beyond them too, but over the next 4 weeks as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, I hope that we're going to spend some time waiting. And I don't expect it to be quiet waiting. I want it to be that vigilant expectation, excited, anticipatory, active searching. How can we look for what God is doing? How will we go where God is leading? I think we can seek out to all we can to share hope and to say to one another, just like the end of this verse, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And we can listen to this prophet of peace. We can listen to Isaiah. Not be distracted by the glitz and the stress of the season that is upon us, but instead prepare for a great celebration. One that we know is coming and one that we know in many ways is here. Celebration of the birth of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We can turn from things that are born of stress and conflict and anger and self-interest. And we can decide, maybe in a tangible way, maybe it's in a metaphorical way as we do that, but we can decide that we ain't going to study war no more. Let's pray. But thank you for your blessings, and thank you for a time where we can be in vigilant expectation. Help us as we prepare. Help us as we get ready for the celebration to come. Help us to live our lives ready to celebrate your love, to celebrate Jesus always. Amen.